six again. And just for the benefit of people who may get the tapes or get a tape in between or whatever, we're still on the subject of comfort in our sovereign God. God's omnipresence. That is, that God is with his people everywhere. As a matter of fact, God is not just there. God's not just everywhere, but God is everywhere before we even get there.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's not just God is with us when we go there. God's already there. We meet up with him wherever we go. According to Psalmist in Psalms, and I'm not turning to it, but in Psalms 139, God takes us wherever we are. Wherever you are right now today, and I'm speaking specifically of God's people.
Yes, sir.
Wherever you are today, God took you there. And he took you there for a reason. Even if that reason is to show you your own darkness.
Yeah.
And darkness can, it does, and can and does, I'm not for sure which way you ought to stay, the can and does, still exist, even in God's people. Now, I asked this question last week, and it's a question from the statement made by Ezekiel in Ezekiel 36, verses 25, basically through verse 27. Let me read that. And now we're talking, now we've come to that place where we're talking about darkness and light. And the fact was the fourth point, some men's present darkness is for their future blessing. Now when I say some, I don't mean some of the elect. All of the elect's condition before they were saved is for their future blessing. And I remember Earl preaching and preaching and then mentioning this years ago, that even the training Saul of Tarsus received before he was converted was for his benefit.
Yes, sir.
All of that religious training God used to aid Paul in his understanding of the truth once God opened his eyes. Yes, we do begin as babes, but everything that God has taught us is of some benefit, even when we're in our state of darkness. Remember what Paul said now, even of Israel, God hath concluded them all in unbelief that he might, or God hath concluded them in unbelief that he might have mercy on them all. Isn't that what he says? Romans chapter 11. Right now, nationally, God has cast off Israel.
Yes, sir.
But not electively. Nationally, yes, they are cast off as a nation. Now that doesn't mean that their national status today is any less under the control of the sovereign God as all nations are. That's not what I mean by that. I'm talking about specifically about salvation. God is not saving the Jews as a nation. He is saving those elect Jews who are but a small remnant compared to the whole right now, just like he did during the Old Testament time. But the scripture is clear. God is not done with Israel as a nation.
Exactly.
And when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and what's the context? The fullness of the Gentiles being grafted into the rootstock of Israel in this age. That's the context. Once somebody says, when's this going to happen? Now that's what most men like to preach about. When they preach on this, when's this going to happen? Well, I can tell you, when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in.
That's right.
That's when it's going to happen.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, whether that's tomorrow or a million years from now, I have no idea.
Exactly.
It doesn't really matter. But when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, that is the elect Gentiles of this age,
yes, sir,
is come in. When that last one's in, then David, God's going to start doing something toward Israel as a nation.
Yes, sir.
But that doesn't mean God is done with Israel, even now, because the elect hath obtained it,
yes, sir,
even now. But we read here in Ezekiel a prophecy of Israel as a nation,
yes, sir,
re-inhabiting their land, which is blessed by God. As I said before, even the flora and the fauna, it will be blessed by God.
Yes, sir.
Right? The rivers and the streams and the vineyards and corn crops, if they're going to have corn crops then. Whatever's there is going to be miraculously blessed, Joe, by God.
Yes, sir, that's right.
And the land will be inhabited and it will produce fruit.
Amen.
And this is when God says, through Ezekiel, verse 25, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Now, let me again reiterate, he's not talking about the foundation of cleansing, which is Calvary. That's the foundation of all cleansing,
yes, sir,
is Calvary. But he's here talking about the experience of cleansing.
Yes, sir.
Regeneration and conversion, if you will.
Yes, sir.
Which I am here to purport this morning happens, will happen to Israel all at the same time.
Yeah.
It don't always happen for us all at the same time today. Some of us are regenerated and we may be converted days, Mason, months later. Whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But Israel will be regenerated and converted in a day. These, again, here he's not talking about the foundation, not when Christ shed his blood, but when, as men are sometimes prone to say, when God applies that blood to us and we are converted.
Yeah.
Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. That is the equivalent of what Paul said, and I can't quote it, so I've got to turn back there and read it, in Romans 11. That is the equivalent of where Paul says in verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. And Paul said there's something that wasn't clearly revealed in the Old Testament. And I don't want you to be ignorant of it. Lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. Don't be proud about where you are.
Exactly.
Especially if you boast against the broken off Jews.
Exactly.
And remember, Paul didn't warn us not to boast against the Jews who are still there, still engrafted, or yeah, still there in the vine. You know, he says, don't boast against the branches that were broken off.
That's right.
For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now the reasoning of that is, or he would not have said it this way, that once the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, this blindness will be done away with. So we're talking here about what we experience in our salvation, right? Joe, what you was talking about, what we experience.
That's it.
And this partial blindness is not that all the elect are getting light, but only so much light. That's I've heard it interpreted that way.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, they're elect Jews, and they're obtaining what needs to be obtained, but only partially. That ain't what it's all about. It's all about the Jews as a nation.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's it.
Now, some of the Jews have received. How many? Everyone elected during this age.
Yes, sir.
Or I should say, elected for this age. They were elected before the foundation of the world to be converted during this age.
Yes, sir.
So, blindness in part is happened to Israel by God's own ordination. Let us not forget, he points that out. Joe, you mentioned it. God gave them the spirit of slumber.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. And this not a direct, I'm saying it's a correlation. It's not a direct quote. He gives a direct quote here from Scripture, which is Isaiah 59. Where that comes from. But look at it. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins.
Amen.
Now there are those who say, well, that happened at Calvary. Yes, it did happen at Calvary, but that was judicial.
Yes, sir.
That was a legal matter. There's the matter of us experiencing our sins being taken away.
Yes, sir.
And that's what he's talking about here in Ezekiel 36, verse 25. The experiencing of salvation. Then when I cleanse you, you'll be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. And a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And then he goes on. You'll dwell in the land, all of these things. You're going to loathe yourselves, right? But how? Not presently. But you will, look, Then shall ye remember your own evil ways.
Yes, sir.
And your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Yes. But once this cleansing takes place, that's going to stop. Right? Mm-hmm. That iniquity. But they can't even loathe that iniquity until first they're made clean. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Now I ask this question. Don't anybody answer out loud. Has this happened to us today? And I said, no. Yeah. No. Because we still have the stony heart in us.
Yes, sir.
Will this happen for us? Yes. But not in the time frame that it will happen for Israel as a nation. Let me put it this way. For me and for you, if you're in Christ, there came a time when God cleansed us by regeneration. That's what it's called.
Yes, sir.
Cornelius, it was told to Peter, I've cleansed something, and don't you call it common or unclean.
That's right.
Right?
Yes, sir.
That's what God told Peter.
Yes, sir.
And he was talking about Cornelius.
That's right.
Right? I've cleansed something already. Who did he cleanse? He cleansed Cornelius. He'd given Cornelius this cleansing, but Cornelius didn't have the old heart taken out. He just has the new heart put in.
Yes, sir.
And the same is still true for us today. We have the new heart put in,
yes, sir.
But we are yet to have the old heart taken away.
Exactly.
When will that happen? It will happen when we awake in His likeness.
Amen. That's right. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
That's what it will happen. But this is going to happen for Israel as a nation in a day.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Now let me stop for a moment since I said in a day. Somebody says, do you mean 24 hours? Well, I think it will be in maybe even less than 24 hours.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be in a day. But granted, there is scripture when it speaks of a day. And that day may be an extended period of time. For instance, the day of the Lord. Now, what's amazing is there are people who say the day of the Lord, and that's a final judgment day. It's all going to happen right at once, real quick. Bing, bang, boom, it's all over with.
Yeah.
Because it says, David, the day of the Lord. It can't be 1,007 years long. Now, some of you may know what I'm saying. Some of you may not when I say that. It can't be 1,007 years long. It's got to be a day because it's the day of the Lord. But when we get to this day, well, that's happening over a long period of time.
Exactly.
Now, they are interpreting exactly opposite than I do.
Yeah.
Somebody's right. Or I should say, somebody's wrong.
Yeah.
And somebody's right, or we're both wrong.
Exactly.
And there are some who say, yeah, well, you're both wrong because they have a totally different idea.
Exactly.
Somebody say, how do you know for sure? It ain't easy sometimes. But one thing that's necessary, and it's a hard thing to come by, because it only comes of the fruit of the Spirit, and that's honesty.
Yeah.
Well, so I read this verse and read this verse and read this verse for years, and I knew that hadn't happened to me.
Yeah.
And if this is speaking of exactly what God does for us today,
yeah.
I fall far short. Because my old evil wicked heart is still there.
Yes, sir.
Now, I found ways to appease my conscience, David. He doesn't really mean the order doesn't really matter. I tried that for a while. But I knew better.
Yeah.
You know, that worked for a while. But the more I learned that God does things, Joe, according to order.
Oh, yeah.
I said, well, I can't say that out loud. I might appease myself and my own conscience with that. But that won't work for some of these folks I know. They probably will see through that. Then I thought, well, maybe the order's there, but he's just, you know, reiterating. No, he says. It says, I'm going to give you a new heart, and I'll take the stony heart out. But then he says, and I will give you a heart of flesh.
Yes, sir.
Now, had he left out, I will give you a heart of flesh after the taking the stony heart out, we could say, well, there's a time period between that. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
We would be allowed to do that. But when he says, I'm going to give you a new heart, I'm going to take the old one out, and that's when I'll put the new one in.
Yeah.
We're not allowed to say that.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He doesn't just say, I'm going to give you a new heart and take the old one out. We can say, well, for some people, that's 20 years difference. Other people, that's 30 years difference. Other people, that's 40 years difference. No, I'm going to put a new heart in you. But I'm going to take the old one out, and that's when I'm going to put the new one in you, the heart of flesh.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to put my spirit in you, and you are going to do what you're supposed to do.
Yes, sir.
Now, granted, as I said, there are correlations. It is God that works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. But do we always? No. And if at any time you do not do what is right, you can't blame God for it.
Exactly.
And I cannot blame God for it. It's because out of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts and adulteries and fornications and thefts and lies and murders. Now, is it possible for a believer to do one or more of these things? Yes, it is. So if you do, you still have an evil heart.
Yes, sir.
Right? And we'll look at that in detail a little more. So has this happened to me? Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27. Not completely.
That's right.
Not yet. It will.
Yes, sir.
But it hasn't happened to me. It hasn't happened to you yet either. And we need to be aware of this lest we be wise in our own conceits.
Yeah, amen.
We best remember the flesh, because if you don't think you have the flesh, you're going to attribute the flesh to God. And I'm talking about flesh Adamic now. Not just flesh natural, yeah, bone, stuff like that. So that's the whole thing. I'm going to put a heart of flesh in you after I take the stony one out. The correlation here is not to some other phrase you find in the Bible, but these two things. A stony, that's what? A hard heart, right? Yeah. To having a heart of flesh, what? A pliable heart.
Living.
Yeah, living. There you go, Joe. A living heart, not a dead one.
Exactly.
That's a good one, Joe. That's right, Joe. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, we're told right now to say, even when we're done that which is our duty to be done, we're still to say what? We are unprofitable servants. Israel won't have to say that about themselves. Now, they will loathe what they were.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
But they will be something totally different then.
Jesus.
Right? Now, while I am totally different today, I am still all I was before.
Yeah.
And so are you.
Yes, sir.
So are you. But let me ask another question now. Is it not clear from this passage, at least, for the sake of argument, is it not clear from this passage, at least, that there are two hearts to experience? Two separate and distinct hearts to experience. Right?
Yeah.
The stony heart is not made into the heart of flesh.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
The stony heart will be taken out of your flesh.
That's right.
Your body. And I will give you a heart of your body. A fleshly heart rather than the stone. A living heart. I'm glad you said that, Joe. I wish I'd have thought of that. A living heart instead of a dead heart.
Yeah.
But there are two separate and distinct hearts.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm of the ilk that while this is not happening to us today all at once like it will for Israel, it still will happen for us one day. Just right at present, we have both the stony heart and the heart of flesh within us.
Yes, sir.
If God has cleansed us. If He indeed has regenerated us.
That's it.
I can say God has put a new heart within me.
Yes, sir.
I can say that He has put His Spirit within me.
Amen.
And I can say that as He has ordained, that I will walk in every good work that He has foreordained that I shall walk in.
Yes, sir.
I can say that. But my problem is, I don't just loathe what I used to be. I'll still have to loathe what I am still today.
That's it. Amen.
You see?
Yeah.
Let's go on. Verse 28, and ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I'll also save you from all your uncleannesses.
Amen.
Has God done that for you yet?
No.
If He has, tell me how you get that, because I ain't got it.
Exactly.
Now, I know there's some people dilly-dally, flitty-flally around, and they make it mean anything they want. Well, when Christ died, we were cleansed from all of our uncleannesses. Yes, but that's not the context. is it?
No.
Yes, all of our sins are forgiven.
Amen.
But my sin still literally exists today too.
Exactly.
And it's still got to be literally put away one day.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah.
I got to get rid of it. Yeah. I don't want to live like this for eternity. Do you?
No.
Huh?
You're right.
I don't. Paul says, I think Paul kind of agrees. If in this life only we have hope in Christ,
yeah.
We're of all men most miserable.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
You know? I want the end. I want the old heart gone. But that ain't the way God's doing it for us right now today.
Exactly.
It will one day.
Yes, sir.
But not yet.
That's it.
I will save you from all your uncleannesses, and I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. Now, come on. Let's be honest. Now, I know it says I've never seen God's children begging bread, but you ever been hungry at all? Of course you have. Hey, some of us that's lost jobs and didn't know where the next morsel of bread was coming from, did we? Now, has God provided? Yes, but this doesn't just say you're going to come through the famine.
Yeah.
Right? This doesn't say I'm going to support you during the famine, does it? It says, and lay no famine upon you.
Amen.
We experience famine now,
yes,
if God's pleased to take us through it. During this day, there'll be none. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree, the increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall ye remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I do this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. And he's talking to Israel about how they are now.
Yeah.
That one day they will loathe who they are, and specifically who they are and were back then.
Yes, sir.
Well, is this going to take God totally transforming you to be able to do that?
Yes, sir. That's it.
And it's going to take sovereign grace to get it done.
Yeah.
It's not for your sake. That's free grace. That's just another way of saying free grace, ain't it? That's just another way of saying sovereign grace. It's not for your sake, but my name's sake.
Amen.
Verse 33, thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I have cleansed you.
Yeah.
Right there says it.
Yes, sir.
I believe that's a 24-hour period.
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe it's going to be less than a 24-hour period.
Yeah.
It's going to happen within that 24-hour, one specific 24-hour day.
Mm-hmm.
Just like people say, well, you really believe that it says in the beginning, you know, the first day? You believe that's 24 hours? Yeah. Well, it actually says the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, unless the context give me specific reason to believe that the day is simply symbolic of an age,
yeah,
then I must take it when it says a day to mean a day. Right?
Yeah.
As I think it was Jim McLarty said, you know, you have some people, the way they translate Scripture is like this. I gave this somewhat to you last week. And it's not verbatim. But anyway, let's say our Bible was written in more modern day language of more modern day times, David. And we say, the young boy drove his car down the road. Well, the interpretation of some people then is the old man crashed his toy into a tree. That's what it really means when the young boy drove his car down the road. You see, you're just not wise enough to interpret what it really means. You see, it means what it says.
Yes, sir.
And there is no reason to take anything even as a metaphor unless it gives you reason to believe that.
Amen.
And this whole thing, 36 and 37, is the very picture of a miraculous, instantaneous wham! God's done something.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
There is going to stand up, and it don't say in a day, but the very point that it doesn't say, and there began to stand up. When Ezekiel was there preaching, and then when the wind blows, and we'll have to wait to get there, but when the wind blows, there will stand up a great army. The inference is not this is going to take place over a long period of time, but it's going to happen while the preacher's preaching.
That's what it says.
Right?
Yes, sir. Yep.
It's got to. If there's going to happen, there's going to come a day of regeneration for Israel while somebody's preaching the gospel.
Yes, sir.
And it won't happen over a long, extended period of time. It will happen in a day. Why? Because it says, in a day. In that day.
Yes, sir.
Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the wastes shall be builded. How's that? In a day. Somebody said, but how can, you know, people, how could God do that? How could God save sinners other than the sovereign fiat? How could God create this globe in a day? And all that it was in 7 days, right?
Yeah.
Why? Because God's sovereign. He's all powerful. He can and will do as He pleases. Let us not, well, God's not going to do it like that. That just don't make sense. My ways are higher than your ways, God says. And even Paul reiterates that in Romans 11. How do we can't know the mind of the Lord. Who's been His counselor? And that's what some men are trying to do. Well, it can't be that way. It can't mean that. It's got to mean something else. No, it means what it says. God's going to cleanse them from their iniquities. They're going to dwell in the cities, and the waste places will be builded in a day.
Yes, sir.
The desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. Now, how did the Garden of Eden get here? Through a long process of time? It happened within a 7 day period, didn't it?
Yes, sir.
Huh? You think God can't do that in one day? Whew, I guess that's why He had to rest on the seventh. Made Him tired, huh? Took Him six whole days. No, as somebody said, God rested not because He was tired. He rested because He was done. That place shall be like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and the desolate and the ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places. That's why it can happen in a day.
Yes, sir.
Who's going to build these places? Who's going to cause the flora and the fauna to flourish? God will. God's going to save the land by sovereign grace just like He saved us.
Yes, sir. That's it.
And He said, I, the Lord, have spoken it. I will do it. I'm glad He means that, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. There's going to be a larger number than what Israel's ever known before of turning to God.
Yes, sir.
And the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord.
Amen.
I'm here to say again, that will happen one day. But let us be careful of applying this to us now. All in one day or one specific time frame. When you go to do that, you then begin to have to go beyond the pale of truth.
Yeah. Amen.
Scripture tells us we have a pure heart. Now, this is what I want to deal with the remainder of the time. But we're right here at that place where it says now, and the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones, and they were very dry. This is not a carcass laying there. These are dry bones. There's no ligaments, no muscle, no skin, and certainly no breath. It ain't nothing but not just bones, Joe, with the marrow. The marrow's gone out of the bones. They're dry bones. These are dead bones.
Amen.
You know?
Terrible.
That don't matter. I'm going to say, too, God don't even have to have the DNA there to bring life into these bones.
Amen.
God's the one who creates the DNA. As God willing, we will see when we get to the next, and I know this is going on for a while, but I can't seem to rush this. I thought, man, I've been on this for a long time. You know what? I really don't care now. There's too much here.
Yes, sir.
We're going to see, not just God says, I'm going to cleanse you, take away your sin. I'm going to make you different. We're going to see how that's going to take place.
Yes, sir.
And as I said, are there correlations to us today? Yes, all Old Testament Scripture is for our profit. It's for our benefit. And what is happening, or what will happen to Israel in a day, is what is happening to us over the span of our individual lifetimes. That's what is happening to us. But here's the point. I want to deal with this point of having a new heart and the old heart being taken out. Scripture says, 1 Timothy 1:5, 2 Timothy 2:22, that we have a pure heart. Yeah. Now that word actually is very simple. It means clean. Yeah. You ever think of yourself of having a clean heart? You know what I think of? I think of having myself having a heart that is defiled, that is evil, that is desperately wicked above all things, and I can't even understand the comprehend all of it.
Exactly.
I know that it's evil, but I really don't know how evil it really is.
Exactly.
You know?
That's it.
Because I've never been completely perfect so that I could truly see the vile wickedness of what I do have. I know I'm bad. I know I'm evil. I know I'm ungodly. I know I'm unrighteous. But that don't describe it all. You know? That's not the whole gist of it. We were filthy.
Yeah.
And the word in Scripture, when it talks about something filthy, is not talking simply about somebody with dirt on their hands. The filthy rags were the defiled rags that women had after their period was over every month. Filthy rags. We have filthy hearts.
Yes, sir. That's it.
But yet it says, 1 Timothy, you can check it. I'm not going to read it. 1 Timothy 1:5, 2 Timothy 2:22, that we're said that there are people who call on God out of a pure heart.
Yes, sir.
Fervently.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, that's the only way that you can call on God. Is that a pure heart fervently? And then I want you to turn to Hebrews. That's where I want to spend time. Hebrews chapter 10. Now, yes, it's it. Again, it's a pure heart. Look at another. Hebrews 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart.
Yeah.
Now, does that sound like it's describing what we are by nature?
No,
sir. No. But yet it says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the faith of our profession. Don't waver. In other words, David, Paul is saying, it's okay, my fellow brethren. It's okay. Believe God. Approach God.
Yes, sir.
It's all right to approach God, ain't it? Under the law, especially when the law was given, they were told, don't dare approach God.
Exactly.
Right? And that's why we're told in the law, we cannot even fathom of approaching God.
Amen.
Right.
That's right.
But under grace, we're told, let us draw near with a true heart. Now, where in the world did that come from? Will it come from God?
Amen.
That's a part of that promise God has promised to Israel as a nation. God is doing for His people individually now.
Yes, sir.
The elect Jews and Gentiles of this age. He's giving us a new heart. The difficulty is He's not taking the old one out yet.
Yes,
sir. That's the difficulty. Now let me just stop here a moment. And let's notice the word here. Let us draw near with a true. That's the word. True. Now what's odd is the way this is interpreted. But after looking it over and after examining the word, I kind of think, well, that wasn't a bad choice for the interpretation. You can find this same word that is the same Greek word in 1 Corinthians 7. Turn back there. And it is a correlation. I mean, there are equivalents here because it is the same Greek word. Okay? This is not a synonym, right? Now, what's a synonym? Two words that sound alike but have different meanings, right? Ain't that right? What is it the other way? Antonym is? It's like, I don't know the English.
Synonym means the same thing. It says
okay, whatever it is. These are not. This is not two Greek words that sound the same but mean different. This is the same Greek word. But it has not just one simple meaning, you see. True, we would think true. It means, another way of putting it, is not false. Right? That's a simple definition of something that's true. That is, it's not false. So we don't have a false heart. That is, this ain't a false heart. But the problem is, I know I have a false heart. That is, a heart that masquerades as a heart. Huh? A heart that's full of wickedness and deceit. I have that. The reason I know I have that is because even the New Testament scripture is quite clear to continually affirm to us, you have a still yet an evil heart.
Yes, sir.
Beware of it.
Yes.
Watch it. Now, if you don't have that in you, why should you watch it?
Exactly.
You wouldn't have to watch it, would you? But if it's still in you, you better watch it. Well, scripture says, if you walk, you hold your place in Hebrews 10. We'll come right back there. But Galatians chapter 5 warns us this. Let me find it here. This, verse 16 of Galatians 5, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Right? But what's the different? What's the opposite of that? If you walk in the flesh, you will most definitely fulfill its lusts. You won't just begin, you'll go the whole distance. Okay? It won't just be, Joe, an opportunity for failure. It will be failure.
Exactly.
It won't just be an opportunity to fall. It will be a fall. And the works of the flesh, Paul said, are manifest. They're not hidden.
Exactly.
It's not some secret thing. But now let's go back. Hebrews 10, let us draw near with a true heart. Now here, it basically means a freed heart.
Yeah.
Because, same word, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 22.
Yeah.
For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's, see that next word? Free man.
Yes, sir.
True. In other words, he's a true man.
Yeah.
Would anybody who's a slave consider themselves to be a whole person? They wouldn't, would they? Huh? There was a certain, I ain't going to say race, there was a certain kind of people, even in this country, that had no choice.
Yeah.
And were enslaved. You think they feel like whole people? Huh? I guarantee you they did not. The whole point is, now, what some people do is talk about freed man. This is a freed heart. In other words, a liberated heart. The point here is you would have, if you get a Greek picture of this word, you have here a slave who is then set free.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Now most people dwell on that. Now yes, that is, granted, that is a part of the picture.
Yep.
Now does that mean then that my old heart has been set free? That's the way some people interpret it.
Yeah,
but that's not what the scripture teaches.
Right. Amen.
Problem is, I got an old man. And this old man, the only way to deal with it is to deaden it. Mortify it. Cast off its members and its deeds. Put him off. The old man is not renewed. We're to pay attention to the new man. It says new. Right? So these people who are saying God takes the old heart and works on it, they're wrong. Now the illustration could tend to that, but what they don't see, what they leave out of, is yes, it is talking about a slave who is then freed, but this is the Lord's free man.
Yes.
That is, he has been so freed, he can never be put in bondage again.
Exactly.
It was a Greek, a law, a Roman law during that time, that being so free, okay, you could not be enslaved again. The whole point is, we have a heart not that was in bondage and been brought out. That's not the point of the picture. That word can be used for that part of the picture. But the point the apostle is using is not an old heart that's been liberated, but a heart that is so liberated that it can never come into bondage.
Yeah.
That's a true heart. And you remember, Paul told, it's not the exact word, but it's a part of the word, I am a free man.
Yes, sir.
Now, Paul never was a slave. So the word can be used without the slavery part, David.
Exactly.
The Lord's free man. Here it's translated true. Free would be okay. Let us draw near with a free heart. Now, not freed specifically. That can be the meaning, but that's not the meaning. Well, I'm here to declare to you, according to the preponderant testimony of Scripture, God is not working on the old man to make it better or new.
That's right.
There is a new man, and he is new. The word new is what it means. New. It's not something old revamped or reworked. It is something new. And the old is called that because that's what it is. The old. And according to both Ephesians chapter 4, I had to find it in my notes, I knew it, but Ephesians chapter 4 and Colossians chapter 3, we still have both. And that's our problem.
Yes, sir.
You see, if I was totally changed, some people say, I've heard it. And don't get mad at me if I know you said it. If you said it, don't get mad at me. Well, if I was perfect, aren't you glad you're not perfect today? No, I want to be perfect. I would like to be perfect, even today. Somebody said, well, if I was perfect today, I'd be so proud of myself you couldn't stand me. No, if I was perfect today, your ungodliness would be so manifestly clear, you would hate me.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they did to Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
If I was perfect, I'd be perfect. I wouldn't have to worry about much of anything but you.
Exactly.
You would be my problem then. Yeah. Right?
That's it.
But since I am still imperfect, you're not my only problem. Notice I didn't change. I didn't say you weren't my problem. I said you ain't my only problem. My chief problem is me. Because see, if I could ever get over me, I could deal with you. Because our Lord dealt with us, didn't He? Can you imagine what He put up with? The stuff that this we haven't written down here. Look at what He put up with. You talking about patience, long suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, kindness. That driving those money changers out of the temple, that was nothing compared to what they really deserved.
Exactly.
Was it? No, we have to spot the time's going on. We're going to stop. We have both. Now, Scripture never says, granted, it never says, I got an old heart and a new heart. But that's what you got. And that's what I got if you're in Christ. Because you have an old man and a new man. Now, what man is a man that don't have a heart?
Exactly. That's it.
Huh? Yeah. Well, what man is a man that don't have a head?
Yeah.
He ain't much of a man if he ain't got a head, is he? What man is a man if he don't have his liver? If he don't have his pancreas? If he doesn't have his kidneys? Huh? You see, the old man is a complete man, but he's a completely ruined man.
Exactly.
And the new man is a new man. And he's a perfect man, but he's not complete yet.
Amen, that's right.
Now he's perfect, but he's not complete.
Yeah.
Somebody said, what in the world are you getting into? I'm getting into what the book says.
Yeah.
And the fact is, for us, sometimes, and it's not because the things are not clearly evident. Paul said the works of the flesh are manifest.
Yeah.
They're clear. The problem is, we are so depraved. We still have that old Adamic nature that so hates truth that sometimes it's hard for us to distinguish what is truly of the flesh and what is of the Spirit of
Amen.
God.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because we're prone to give credit to the wrong thing and to blame the wrong thing.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
I would dare say that we probably give credit to the right thing far too few times. And sometimes we probably blame God. Even when we mean, David might not mean to, but we blame God, you know, for the evil and the wicked. But let me just stop again and say, what God shall do for Israel in a day, God is doing for us over a period of time.
Yes, sir.
That's why it takes patience not to get it. Israel's got to wait to get it.
Yeah.
But once they get it, it's all going to happen.
Yes, sir.
The problem with, we still need patience after it starts to happen.
Yeah.
Because once it starts to happen, we still got a long way to go.
Exactly.
Joe, you mentioned it. I have not yet arrived.
Exactly.
Right? I'm not there yet. But I have obtained some things.
Yes, sir.
Right? We have come thus far. Because God said, just how far are you going to come?
Yes, sir.
Are we going to have the stony heart taken out one day? Yes, we will. And Joe, I'm going to tell you, just be patient, brother. Because we will get it only at the prescribed time.
Exactly.
I am going to remain in this fallen body with a depraved nature that hates God just as much now as it ever did. And I will not get rid of it until that appointed time when I awake in Christ's likeness. And we'd be well to deal with that. Not to live all over in La La Land. Boy, I'd love to be perfect today, but that ain't the reality. You know that? It's not the reality. The reality is I've got to deal with my, not just the imperfection, I've got to deal with my depravity.
Yes, sir.
It's one thing to deal with an imperfection.
Oh,
right? An imperfection is something, David, you can work on.
Yeah.
We ain't got just an imperfection. We have something that's corrupt.
Yeah, exactly.
That's vile. That's filthy. That is called putrid.
Yeah.
It is a carcass or a rotting sore from the top of our head to the soles of our feet.
Yeah.
That's what it says we're full of, right? You know? Nasty sores. You see, that's what I still am today.
Yes, sir.
I'd love to be able to tell you folks I got it, and I hope you arrive one day where I'm at. Because the fact is, I know you're already where I'm at. You can't help it. You started with what I got, our daddy's nature.
Yes, sir.
Adam's nature. And it's still there. And I tell you, you've got to watch it. Because it will jump up on you at the least expected moment. I'm going to tell you, I listened to those tapes by Bradley about anger. And I can give you, I'm not going to give you the details because I'm not here to embarrass myself with a lot of details. I'm just going to give you generalities. You don't get the details. But you could be thinking about something and you have no thought of anger or malice or difficulty. You're happy and you're joyous of where you are, and you get a phone call, and the next moment, you find yourself losing your temper.
Oh, yeah.
That quick. Uh-huh. When you're actually sitting there thinking about the opposite thing, but when something happens, boom, that quick.
Yep.
That quick. That's how dangerous it is.
Exactly.
And it's true. See, the problem is, well, what? But that's really, I'm just a little anger. But a little leaven leavens the whole lump.
Yeah. Amen.
And if we take that lightly,
yeah,
we're beginning to take the flesh lightly.
Exactly.
And there are some very deadly things to do with the flesh.
Right.
Things that hurt not only yourself, but hurt other people as well.
Exactly.
And we know that. We're not to hurt one another, are we? We're to be here to help one another. Father, I pray that you bless us. And we know that blessing's only because of and in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. In His name I pray. Amen.